You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to Episode 12 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and now on Podbean, and if you do subscribe to us through one of those services, please take a couple of minutes to give us a rating. Spread the word to everyone you know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. John and I are also active on a number of other groups I'd like to give a shout-out to, including the Marvel Cinematic Universe Facebook group, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cosplayers, and the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the Facebook groups of our sister podcasts, Earth Station One and Earth Station Who. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group or WordPress site, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. So, kind of busy week in the MCU. We've had seriously, we've had posters, we've had like more little snippets from Age of Ultron. We've got rumors about an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff and our first glimpse at the Ant-Man villain. And oh yeah, on S.H.I.E.L.D. we had Deathlok and Sky's mom and Crazy Cal and just a hint of Pesto Aioli.
We had a little bit of everybody and everything this week. It's like Marvel decided it was Christmas.
It kind of was Christmas, yeah. Complete with toys and everything, so.
Oh, yeah.
So how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing quite well. You know, this has been a good week for my spirits, at least in the movie side of things. As far as work side, you know, that was rough, but it's almost over. It's
indeed.
Almost Friday.
And we're almost up to Daredevil night, so.
I know, but 3 a.m., man. 3
I know. It's this stupid. Whole midnight on the West Coast rather than...
I'm gonna alienate all our California listeners right here, but...
Sorry,
man,
guys.
Don't y'all realize everything gets premiered midnight East Coast?
It should be, but, and yet, it does not, so...
This is your one, California.
Yeah, and Dragon Con kicks Comic-Con's ass, just for the record. But anyway, Moving on. Okay, so let's see. I guess we can start with one of the big things. I guess it was today, I think, was the first time that people started talking seriously about it again, was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff.
Yes.
So... I mean, there's so many questions about that. I mean, for one, why? I mean, because they're, you know, the ratings for S.H.I.E.L.D. have been good but not great, and the ratings for Agent Carter were also not great, and people are saying it's about to a 60-40 of Agent Carter coming back at this point. I'm not sure that it's smart to be starting another series.
Well, I mean, you know why it's happening, though.
Well, because there's so many
CW.
DCU. Yeah, well, there's so many DCU things coming out, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Arrow was successful. Now Flash is successful. Hey, let's create a third show.
Well, not to mention they've got Gotham and... Oh, geez, Constantine, technically, which may be coming back or may not.
Yeah, it's probably going to go to, like, sci-fi or... Universal or something.
I hope it sticks around in some form. But yeah, I mean, and on the other hand, though, they've got, I mean, God, they've got all the Netflix stuff coming out. We've got Daredevil, we've got Jessica Jones, we've got Luke Cage. I mean, it seems like there's already so much stuff going on.
Right, but of course, with all the Defender stuff, you know, we're only going to get to see Daredevil and Jessica Jones this year, mm-hmm. and we're not going to get to see Luke Cage and Iron Fist until next year.
Yeah, true.
So it might be 2017 before we get the Defender series. So that's being spread out a bit more, mm-hmm. and we're not really being oversaturated that way.
I guess not, and I guess because it's in different mediums, you know, watching on your mm-hmm. computer versus watching on TV, although a lot of people are just watching everything on computer now, but I just worry that people are going to get superheroed out. I hate to say that, but it just seems like it's getting almost, I mean, I think what we've got now is great, but I'm just worried that more is not going to necessarily mean better.
Well, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but I think Marvel's done a pretty good job of pacing everything out, not mm-hmm. trying to give us everything at once.
True, true. So what do you think, there's all kinds of speculation about what the focus of an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff would be. So what are you thinking best candidates would be for that?
I think, best candidates, first and foremost, I'm going to say an Agent Carter thing. I'm going to say, like, moving Agent Carter from the SSR into the early days of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would also say other prime candidates, you know, we've got Eddie Olmos, Gonzalez.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yep.
I don't know why he keeps wanting to say Rodriguez.
I don't know.
I'm so, so sorry to everybody. but yeah, we have Gonzalez's real S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could go off and become their own thing.
Totally.
People, of course, have speculated that they could be S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah, I might have speculated about that once or twice.
Yeah, I think you really want S.W.O.R.D., and I think you want S.W.O.R.D. more than most people.
Well, see, I guess more than anything, I just want, I think it would be great. I love Edward James Olmos, and I would love to see him helming a series again, and that would make it you know, something that actually has roots into the comics and, you know, is already an established part of the MCU for him to be heading up, but we'll
certainly
see.
And I mean, you know, we're gonna have more cosmic threats in the future. We know that for certain.
Absolutely. Although the way that they've kind of set it up, it mm-hmm. kind of seems more like it would make more sense for Coulson to be going after the more cosmic stuff and Gonzalez to be focusing on the more earthbound stuff. But, I don't know. We'll see.
In the comics, of course, S.W.O.R.D. is headed by Abigail Brand.
Mm-hmm, right.
So we haven't seen her. We haven't been introduced to her yet. So I think that's probably a less likely option.
True.
Because they'd probably put her in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I would say other leading candidates, obviously we could do something with Bobby Morse.
Yep.
Yeah, and Mike Peterson and Deathlok.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm not sure if there's, well, you know, I was going to say there's not enough necessarily there for a Deathlok series, but, you know, that actor is great, and I've got a lot of faith in Marvel folks to come up with stuff that's going to work, so. So, let's see, we got another bit of news that was coming out, and again, this is more like just kind of an update. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is, I believe they've got a release mm-hmm. date for that. They've talked about when they're going to be starting filming, and they've confirmed that Karen Gillan's going to be back as Nebula, so that's awesome.
I mean, yeah, she almost has to be. For anybody that's ever read Infinity Gauntlet, mm-hmm. Nebula is a major player in that. So
awesome.
Obviously she's got to stick around until the Infinity War.
Well, and it's interesting because I know we always, you know, heard about all the Avengers actors and how many movies they've been signed to. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really heard anything on the Guardians of the Galaxy people. Maybe they were just waiting to see the first one to see how it went.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't signed people to anything, but I don't know. So, but that's definitely a thing, and it is, of course, going to be filming in Atlanta, like pretty much everything these days, it seems like. I'm complaining.
It's a shame I don't live anywhere close to there.
Well, I don't live close enough. Yeah, I'm all excited right now because there's a giant GM factory that has been abandoned mm-hmm. for about 8 years now, and they just announced in the papers this week that they're going to be taking it down and building a whole new movie studio complex to cover that entire area. So that's like
I saw that. That's
walking distance to my house. I am so psyched. So lots of cool stuff coming with that. Another one, another rumor or bit of news that has been floating around is that Ernie Hudson could be possibly, maybe sort of, joining the cast of Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is it T'Chaka? Is that how you say that?
T'Chaka, yes.
Yeah, so can you tell us anything about that character?
All right, T'Chaka is obviously part of the Black Panthers universe, and he is actually T'Challa's father.
Mm-hmm.
T'Chaka was the king of Wakanda. He was a previous Black Panther. Before he got retconned, it was actually part of his history that he had fought Steve Rogers in World War II. Like, Steve had come into Wakanda, and Wakanda was very much, you know, like, isolationist, no outsiders. Mm-hmm. Because they've got this very advanced technology that, of course, lots of people would like to take advantage of.
Right.
So Wakanda kind of just shut its doors. And when Steve comes there looking for help in the comics,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't find exactly a warm welcome.
But gotcha.
Ends up finding T'Chaka and earning T'Chaka's respect,
mm-hmm.
and which is how he gets his vibranium shield.
But that's not the way that it went down for the, right. the MCU, so...
Yeah, as far as we know, it doesn't.
Well, yeah,
but,
I mean...
You know, with T'Challa showing up in Civil War, who knows, maybe we'll get a brief glimpse into World War II Wakanda.
That'd be but, cool.
Yeah, and just an interesting point of fact when it comes to T'Chaka,
mm-hmm.
in just about every iteration, every history, and every media incarnation... T'Chaka usually meets his death at the hands of Ulysses Claw.
Who we know is going to be joining the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be interesting.
And depending on the the adaptation, it's usually the moment that inspires T'Challa to take up his father's reins, so to speak, mm-hmm. and become the new Black Panther.
Interesting. So there's all kinds of possibilities there. I don't know that there's. I mean that the reporting on that was very, very sketchy. But I mean it's certainly something that people are talking about now. At least Joss Whedon has made a comment that there is not going to be a post credit scene at the end of Age of Ultron.
Right. Which so, I mean, there is something. We are getting something at the end of Age of Ultron, but it's not going to be another shawarma scene like we got before.
Right. It's they said there's going to be a mid-credits tag, like there usually is after they roll the thing with all of the stars in it, and
right.
then they have the little mid-credits thing, and then something at the very end. But Whedon's, of course, a lot of people are saying, you know, we can't trust him, and we're going to stay till the end, but I don't know. And I mean, it's possible that if it ends on a real downer or something, which I can't see it happening, but you know, we'll know in a month.
Well, I mean, we're pretty much convinced at this point that there's going to be a split in the team by the end of this.
Yeah, true. So it may not be a jump up out of your seat and cheer kind of thing where you want to have that.
It's been described, of course, before as the Empire Strikes Back of
right.
the Avengers films. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was you and I were talking online recently about whether mm-hmm. or not anyone had confirmed that one of the main Avengers was going to die in this. And I think what that actually comes from is that at one point somebody asked Joss Whedon if he could, like, describe what the movie was going to be like in three words, and he said, death, death, and death.
But, what else would you expect Whedon to say?
Which interestingly, is leading a lot of people to say, ooh, is there a Thanos connection? Is there, like, a death thing? But yeah, I mean, at this point, we've all been kind of burned by Wash and by Coulson, and we're all kind of bracing to see if he's going to kill somebody in this one. But
right.
But who knows?
Which the thing I love, if you watch the Avengers with Whedon's commentary,
mm-hmm.
He talks about going into the meeting with Kevin Feige, and mm-hmm. Kevin Feige's the one who suggested killing Coulson.
Oh, really?
Whedon. Yeah, Whedon's response was, you know, I've got a reputation, right? They're going to blame me for this.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
We did.
Yes, we did, indeed. But so, yeah, so who knows what's going to happen with that. I'm excited because there's a, for those of you who don't know, there's a clothing company called Her Universe that mm-hmm. makes female...
Ashley Eckstein?
What's that?
Ashley Eckstein? That's her company.
I did not know who that was. Oh, very cool. Yes.
Yeah.
But they got started to put out more, you know, geek or geek themed things for women because it was hard to find T-shirts that fit and all that. And they have an Avengers themed line that's coming out for Hot Topic, and I've just seen a few things for it, but it looks super cool. Like there's a really cool dress that has a beautiful full green skirt to it, and there's this neat design on it. And after you look at it for a second, you realize it's like an overlapping pattern of Loki's horns. it's so cool.
It looks really neat. And even though I obviously the clothes are not made for people of my sex, I still had to look at it because I was curious, and you know. It's the kind of thing, if I see out in public, like in a bar or something, like, that's a girl I'm going to go up and talk to because...
Absolutely.
Obviously she likes what I like, and that's like a good way to start the conversation.
Absolutely. And they've got stuff that I like it because a lot of their stuff is not over the top. You know, it's completely, you know, it's something you could wear as, you know, like streetwear. Like I said, this is the Loki dress is not like, you know, like a costume. It's a really nice dress that happens to, if you look at it and go, oh my God, I think that's what that is. It is. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that because I love geek girl stuff. So what else we got? Animated MCU. There was a rumor of something about that.
Something like an animated MCU movie. Mm-hmm. Just not necessarily one that's probably going to be out in theaters, but one that's going to, you know, like DC has been doing with mm-hmm. their animated films that they've released in the last few years.
So it would just be like going straight to Netflix kind of thing?
Yeah, straight to Netflix, straight to DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, Warner Brothers and DC have been very successful with that, so I think Marvel wants to emulate that a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you think, any ideas what they would do for that?
I'm not certain exactly. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, mm-hmm. And it would be curious to know, like, if it's an MCU thing, is this going to be canon? Is this something that we could see come up later on?
Well, and when people say MCU, rather than just saying it's an Avengers thing or something, it tends to imply that it's going to be canon. So at that point, it's like, well, is it going to be all the... is it going to be people from the live-action movies doing the voices, or is it going to be a totally different story, or what is it going to be? So,
I mean, if it's the people and their voices, it could be, you know, technically it could potentially count as part of their contract.
True. That's true.
So they might not be so willing to, to extend that to the actors themselves. They might bring in some of the, you know, the voice actors from something like Avengers Assembled.
Right. Yeah, it would be, I mean, I guess maybe some of the more like outer space, you know, cosmic type stuff would be good for that because that it hasn't mm-hmm. been really touched on yet, but you could give a lot of good backstory to the stuff that's coming with more Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff, but I guess we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. I think that is most of it. Can you think of anything else that's been going on last week?
Well, we got some more of the Marvel Age of Ultron Funko Pops. A couple more of those came out this week
mm-hmm.
to complete the line. I think it was just, I want to say Cap and Hulk came mm-hmm. out this week.
I believe I saw an Agent May Funko Pop.
Yes, Agent May is going to be out in May, appropriately.
Of course, yep.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But I had a few people, you know, I saw a few people joke, well, if her name was April, would it be out already?
Yeah, maybe not so much. So yeah, and you finally got some good pictures of Ultron to use for playing.
Well, not
your
Ultron.
I'm sorry. What am I saying? Yes, I'm sorry. Some good pictures.
We've had
of
good pictures of Ultron.
I know, right? Oh my gosh! No, some good pictures of Vision, I should say.
Yes, Marvel gave us another present today. They decided to release the character poster, and I wonder. I can't help but think that maybe it had something to do with the fact that EW or Entertainment Weekly released its cover for next week's issue.
Oh yeah,
which has, you know, all nine of the Avengers on it plus Ultron in a very like Jim Lee X-Men number one type pose.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you'll notice, like, you can find the comparison between that fold-out cover that Jim Lee did for X-Men number one, where it's, you know, all the team members on the left, and then to the far right is Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, we get all the team members building up from left to right to Ultron.
Ah, very clever. Very cool. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, we've had a couple good looks at the Vision this week.
Excellent, yes. But none of them as cute as the Funko Pop.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing.
Well, they're all kind of adorable. I mean, there's even an Ultron one, and he's kind of adorable too. So,
and they're coming out with Age of Ultron Yahtzee, where
I saw that
Yahtzee thing is his head.
Right, right. Oh my god, the tie-ins are starting to get a little bit ridiculous at this point.
Mm-hmm. At any rate, I did get myself something new this past week when
I
went back up to Raleigh.
Uh-huh.
I bought the Avengers Tower Lego set.
Oh, excellent.
Still up there. Well, you know, that Helicarrier, because I bought it during double points, it gave me, you know, $30 off.
Right.
So I basically sliced the price of the Avengers Tower in half from 60 down to 30.
That's awesome.
And it is a very good set. I like it. It might, you know, a lot of people complain that it's kind of short because it's only like three stories. You know, the first story you get the like sick bay and the kind of like the bay for two of the Iron Legion drones.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, up on the second level, you get kind of an assembly area for Ultron in his first form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on the opposite side of that is a little kind of laboratory with a bay that scans the Loki's staff.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and up at the top level, you got a little control room for Iron Man and also the lounge that we've seen in the movie.
Okay, so this is something that has just come out recently?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
It's within the last couple months that this has been out, and it's got a lot of the flick missiles. I'm not very big on the flick missiles for Lego, and I kind of mm-hmm. wish those would go away.
What are they?
They're like, instead of, pistols and things that they've been using lately, like, or ray guns that they used to use, they've mm-hmm. got these little kind of flick missile things where you put one of the round small pieces into it, and it's got a little button on top, and you press the button, and it fires it.
Huh.
And it's a neat little thing, and I can mm-hmm. see where kids would like it, and obviously, you know, this stuff is made more for them than it is for people my age.
Well, but, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's made a little bit for both.
There's not a lot of, you know, 7-year-olds that would have the patience to put together the helicarrier. So.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that, you know, they save up their money and then they ask dad to help with.
This is true. Or mom, or big brother or sister or something.
Yeah, basically. But I think it's a very good set. If you added another story or two, I'm not sure what you would put there,
mm-hmm.
especially considering we haven't seen the movie yet, so we can't really speculate what would go
right
under like those three stories that already exist.
Yeah, certainly.
But I think it's very well put together. You know, you definitely get the sense of Avengers Tower looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the
very last purchase. Yeah, yeah, it's got it on both sides, actually.
Excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I this is going back a while, but a couple months ago, somebody I was at a party and somebody had one of those Oculus Rift VR headset things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you can do for a tour is you can go into a an MCU themed thing of Tony's lab. And you can pull up, you know, schematics for different things, and Paul Bettany's doing Jarvis's voice, and it's one of the
welcome
less impressive
sup.
Ones.
Welcome, sup. No, yeah. I'll show you around the laboratory.
Indeed, yes. No, he says something about how Mr. Stark apologizes for not being able to join you, but he's said that you're welcome to look at this and this and this, and it, different things light up. So
you may want to spray everything with a coat of Lysol before you touch it.
I'm sure that Jarvis would have taken care of all that, but. Awesome. Oh, man, there's just so much cool stuff going on
right now. I'm just picturing Dummy going around with a can of Lysol, just...
Yeah, and, I mean, Tony's classy. I mean, I can almost see that being... Well, anyway, let's just not go there.
All right.
All right, so we're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Afterlife.
Hello, my name is Jay Patrick, and that is Adam.
Hello.
Join us for the Adam and JP Show.
Hello.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hello.
Get it now.
Hello.
Oh, we're just kidding. If you love comics, video games, movies, wrestling.
Who doesn't? These are all great things that make us who we are.
That's true. Then you should join us for the Adam and JP Show. You actually can get it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that part was true.
And right here on the ESO Network.
And adamandjp.com.
Welcome back, and we are now ready to talk about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Afterlife. So, man, a lot of stuff going on this week.
I know, this was chock full of everything and everyone.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different plot lines. You've got Gonzalez and all the stuff that's going on at S.H.I.E.L.D. HQ. You've got Skye and her new boyfriend, Guy Lincoln, of course, as well as Raina and Skye and her mom and Cal and everything over there. And then you had Coulson and Hunter, yes, up at the cabin, and yeah, I mean, it's just.
I love the moment when Coulson is trying to haggle with the used car salesman. Hunter just steals his car.
Oh my God, I think that was the best opening to any episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we have had this season.
Did you see what you did? Now he's going to call the cops.
Exactly, and it started up with the little. Dancing Gumby thing that they have at used car lots and stuff, and Coulson walking along, and the guy's like, "Yeah, I'm looking at you, and I can see a man who doesn't have any adventure in his life or something like that."
Yeah,
and Coulson's like,
"Tiger's been out of the cage for a while, Eddie."
That's right. Yeah, because he said, "I know you. You're looking to let the tiger out of the cage," and he's like, "Yeah, Tiger's been out of the cage for a while." But yeah, that was very cool. You see how Coulson was trying to do it the right way, and Lance was just like, "Yeah, no, let's just do this."
It's like, I'm a mercenary. Let's just take it. Let's go.
Exactly. So yeah, what are some favorite that definitely it was one of my highlight scenes. But what else did we have that was fun?
So many. The revelation that Skye's mother is alive.
Oh my God! How is that possible?
Saw her, she was cut up on Whitehall's table.
Exactly, she was like a pile of parts, But if you look at her face, she's got scars that look like she was taken apart and sewed back together like Frankenstein.
And that gives me kind of an interesting theory about what her power is, and I think it's got to be something like a healing factor.
Yeah, like Wolverine or something. But then would she have scars? I mean, it seems like she shouldn't, but...
Well, you could still have scar tissue depending on the circumstances.
Yeah. I would not be a bit surprised if Cal put her back together or something.
Maybe.
I
don't know, I feel like he's been going around acting like she was dead this whole time and trying to avenge her, and...
He has, but then he didn't seem particularly surprised when she showed up in this episode.
And we can probably assume that, they probably had their reunion off-screen or something.
Yeah, I guess, but...
But, yeah, I mean, we see that with Wolverine's power, especially in the X-Men films, that... Mm-hmm. He's incredibly long-lived because of it.
Right.
And he's, we've seen him in the comics, he's been able to pull himself back together from having his face melted off,
and right?
Parts removed from him.
Exactly.
Daredevil's the same way. Or, I mean, not Daredevil. Deadpool was the same way. Like, Deadpool could have his head removed. You put his head back on, and he's fine.
And he's good to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, she could be like super healing factor chick or something.
Right.
Interesting that she didn't say, "Oh, hey, BT Dubs guy, I'm actually your mom." So
I think she's going to go into that slowly. Obviously, she wants to be I can't remember what the term they used was.
Mm-hmm.
But like her Inhumans coach, if you will.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Her training.
And she even hints at it, like, you know, you stick around, you might find out what kind of connection that we can have.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that was definitely cool. Lincoln definitely seems like a character that they're taking the time to flesh out into somebody interesting, and he's certainly got, you know, some kind of chemistry, no pun intended, going on with Skye.
Yeah, because she is so overworn.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see if he sticks around, if he becomes a recurring character, you know, when they move on from Afterlife up in the mountains or whatnot. But he seems cool enough. Of course, we had Deathlok come back, which
yes,
I was like, that was like one of those jump off the couch yes kind of moments
for
me.
Of course, you know, Lance and Coulson have their big plan of, we're gonna use the holograms, then ice the guys, steal their uniforms, then steal their Quinjet.
Right.
But of course, you know, Gonzalez has more guys in a hidden Quinjet
who
capture them.
Right.
And then you just get the two hands on the back of the Quinjet door. Doom!
Yes!
Pulls it down.
And I'm very glad that it was Mike, because I was thinking, oh God, what if he called Ward in?
He's going to next week,
exactly.
Or at least in a couple weeks from now.
Oh my gosh! And that's we can get to that in a bit, but that's its own whole thing. But it was great to see Mike Peterson back, and he's got a new outfit that looks a lot cooler, and he was just kicking ass. And I hope he sticks around. And it was also nice because they mentioned and I'm gonna forget his name now, Baron von Stucker's buddy. That he's I can't remember who that is, but it's the one I think it's the one that von Stucker was talking to in the tag scene for.
Well, actually, no, because he got killed.
Oh,
this season, that actor, like, his character was dead.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that he's in the car, I think. Well, no, that's a different guy, but.
Because Coulson says that Mike's been following this guy around for me.
Yeah.
Of course,
now we know, you know, like, everybody else but this one dude is dead.
Right, right. And the comment about how they were trying to collect, you know, people with powers. They're not saying in humans yet, interestingly, but
nobody's really used the term yet except for Skye.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's just been like people with powers. Presumably, that is referencing him having captured Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Right,
I'm guessing. So that's a nice little sort of backhanded tie-in to the movie. I loved the, what was it, 21st Century Howling Commandos kit that had the hologram thing. That was definitely awesome when the guys, you know, bust in the door and Coulson just looks at them and goes, shh.
Yeah, I do love the we had a better hand pun.
Exactly. Very, very cute. So what do you think about Gonzalez? This is something a lot of people have been talking about online. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he, you know, is it he's against Phil, so therefore he's got to go, or what?
Well, he's clearly an antagonist, but of course not all antagonists are bad guys. And,
right.
You know, a lot of your best villains believe that they are doing the right thing, but
they'll
go to extremes to do it, and so far Gonzalez doesn't go to extremes. He very much obeys the rules. And as we saw in his scene with May, you know,
he's got
very
some balls.
Upfront.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was awesome, because she was like, Well, I know you wouldn't have given me a loaded gun. And it turns out he drops the magazine
and the bullet that was in the chamber.
That was so beautiful. That was awesome. And that shows
you could have killed me right now, but I have a lot of trust in you that you wouldn't have done that.
Exactly. See, and they're going to the trouble of giving him moments like that when he's just awesome. And, you know, not to mention the fact that it's Edward James almost, and he's just, you know, he's a Adama. He's great. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I do look at him and think Adama, but I also think what Dan Castillo.
True. There is that, too. Uh-huh.
Just coming in.
Exactly.
All right. Dubs. Crockett.
There's that.
What can you tell me about the guy this week? Yeah, Edward James almost always ends up playing authority figures. I don't think he's ever been like an honest-to-God bad guy.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, from the get-go with this, you know, I was thinking about it, and, you know, it's not like Fury made a big public announcement and said, hey, I'm handing the reins over to Phil now, you should all follow him.
Yeah, because, of course, he still wants everyone to believe he's dead.
Right, exactly. And so, from the outside, you know, we've been looking at things from the perspective of Coulson's team, but from the outside, it looks like, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. fell, Fury died, and Coulson's team just kind of disappeared initially.
Yeah, or that Coulson refuses to believe that things have changed.
Right, exactly. And not only that, you know, he's been getting reports back that, you know, well, Coulson was raised from the dead and is full of alien blood and mm-hmm. has gotten another transfusion of alien blood and all that. I mean, I can understand how from somebody else's point of view, they would go, this is not the person that we should be following right now. You know, especially when he starts doing, you know, he takes Sky in and, you know, immediately trusts this hacker chick. You know, which was kind of, could be seen as kind of weird. And then shortly, you know, within a year after that, she becomes an inhuman that can, like, destroy people with Tunguska blasts, you know, earthquakes and things like that. So mm-hmm. I can kind of see his perspective that, you know, this is probably not the best person to be running something if you don't know what's going on.
Right.
So, you know, I can certainly sympathize with Mac and Bobby for being on his side of things. And it was interesting because they were definitely trying to play up the faking us out and making us think that Simmons was totally going to be on Gonzalez's side.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely looked like that was going to be true until we saw Fitz in the cab and she totally snuck him out Fury's toolbox.
He's got, yeah, and he got a sandwich out of it, too.
Yes!
I mean, that was the real sign that, you know, not only wasn't, you know, Fitz managed to pull the old switcheroo,
right.
Was Simmons assisted him because,
exactly.
You know, she made him his favorite sandwich for his trip to find Coulson.
And I believe she signed it Love, Gemma, didn't she?
I'd have to go back and rewatch that.
I'm pretty sure. But regardless, yeah. I mean,
but at the very least, you know, like, this is the definitive evidence that they buried the hatchet on.
Yes.
Their disagreements.
Yes, definitely. And that any evidence to the contrary was them just kind of setting this up so that they would look like they'd had this big conflict so that he could leave and she could stay behind. So.
And, you know, if you go look on the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV website, you can find the recipe for that sandwich.
I know. I saw that. Yes. And they were talking about how I was, of course, because of course I had to read it, right? And
yeah.
Their recipe is not all prosciutto because prosciutto is like super expensive and super salty and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's basically said you could use this, or this.
Right, exactly. And, you know, using the special buffalo mozzarella is something you have to get imported from Italy. But anyway, yes, everybody out there, eat prosciutto and mozzarella sandwiches.
I'm likely just going to buy the already pre-sliced mozzarella and not worry about it.
You could do that too, and that would be just fine.
Yeah.
And pesto aioli. Aww. So sweet. So they dropped some very heavy hints this week about that next week they're going to be doing some flashbacks to May's background, which
yes.
I think is awesome, and they're going to talk about whatever it was in Bahrain that happened, mm-hmm. which is kind of their Budapest for May.
And if we've seen the promo, mm-hmm. it certainly seems that the person or the superpowered individual that was involved in that kind of feeds off of other people's pain.
Oh right, yes. So that's
obviously she would have been causing as much damage and destruction as possible in order mm-hmm. to feed herself.
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, May and Coulson have always been my favorite characters, and I just think that she kicks so much ass, and I'm just super psyched about next week and finding out what her character history backstories type stuff is.
Right.
One of the other things that's been teased, and that is again a hot topic for debate online, is talking about Ward, because Coulson has basically said, you know, the only person that we can talk to that's got, you know, hands in every pie here is Ward. So what do you think? Should Ward have a shot at redemption?
Yes, but not yet.
Okay.
You know, what we've seen since Ward managed to break himself out of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s custody mm-hmm. is that he hasn't learned a damn thing.
Oh, no. No. He's a terrible person still.
No, yeah. I mean, he is still absolutely a terrible person doing, I'm not even sure, the right things mm-hmm. For, you know,
purely
the
selfish,
wrong reasons.
Crazy reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, getting himself ingrained in Hydra and uh-huh. taking it down was purely for two reasons. One, to get back in Sky's good graces, mm-hmm. and two, to hopefully get back in Coulson's good graces, because now, of course, Ward is without a father figure, both figuratively right. and literally.
Right.
Even though he, of course, killed his family, mm-hmm. there's a part of me that really can't blame him for that.
maybe I could be talked into that, but you know, he has just, you know, dropping Sky and Fitzsimmons into the ocean. He's like, well, I didn't kill you. I knew that you'd get out. Bull. I do not believe that.
Well, he couldn't, you know, be like, all right, off you go.
I think he's a terrible, terrible person, and I think that, like, all that stuff at the beginning of him, saying that he tried to kill himself and everything, I think he was just playing them 100%.
Could have been.
And,
he's obviously not a person that you can trust.
Absolutely.
I would still suggest that what he did with Fitz and Simmons was him find a way to appease Garrett, mm-hmm. but also give Fitz and Simmons the greatest chance of survival.
Maybe. I don't know. I just...
I mean, we saw he couldn't kill the dog. I mean, that's what the whole point of that backstory was. He shoots in the air.
Well, yeah, but then you don't know who does the other shot, because it comes from off screen, right? Because
I wouldn't be surprised if Garrett, you know, was watching him with the rifle to make sure he did it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's off the hook with that. Not to mention the fact that, you know, even a couple of weeks ago when he had his weird moment with shapeshifter mask girl. Going,
Agent, you know, 33.
Yes, 33, going from Sky to May to
supermodels and yep. everybody in between. And of course, you know, we know that Agent 33 actually can go back to her regular face now.
Right.
But
right.
she does, you know, since she doesn't really remember who she is, she just kind of stays in one of the others.
Right. But Ward was still lying to her about, mm-hmm. you know, all the stuff with his family and everything. So right. he's not a good person.
No, yeah, like I said, you know, I think redemption's possible for him in the long run, but I don't think it's going to happen this season. I don't think it's even going to happen next season. This is going to be way down the road. Like, his redemption will come by the time this show is over.
Yeah, maybe, I guess I could go along with that if it's, you know, I just was very concerned when he was still showing up on the cast list, you know, before this season started. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, are they actually going to, like, have him come back? But I think they've done a fantastic job with it in terms yeah. of, you know, balancing, you know, having him in more frequently than just about any other guest star.
Right. And they've said this is a long and winding road for him, that it's not going to be easy.
Yes, yes, definitely. And that's good because, honestly, like I said, I think he is a great bad guy. He is a great, you know, guy mm-hmm. you love to hate kind of character. And I hope they keep him. And I think that it's going to be really cool to have Coulson having to work with him. And I'm sure he is going to be a real dick about the fact that Coulson's coming to him for help. So
either that, or you know, he's going to pull the whole father figure stuff and be like, "Sure, I'll help you."
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he knows better than to try that. But we'll have to see.
I think he's going to want to be on Coulson's good side, but he's going to be a smug snake about it, and he's going to play it for his own purposes.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, anything else you want to touch on before we go into ratings?
I think we've covered really most of it.
I think we have. Cool. All right. So, if we were rating, because we are rating this on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, how would you rate this one?
This is going to be my first 5 of the season.
Ooh! Wow.
Like I said, it had everything. It was everybody's subplot was involved. Mm-hmm. Nothing felt rushed. It was all just very well done, very well put together, and everybody given enough screen time and enough into the mythos of the Inhumans,
mm-hmm.
and enough with bringing back Mike Peterson,
mm-hmm.
The interaction between May and Gonzalez. Just this show really had everything but just this major critical denouement, which we won't obviously get till the end of the show, or the end of the series.
We didn't really have a good fight scene in this one, did we?
I don't think so. Not really.
But that's okay. Not every episode has to have that. Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 4.5, and I thought this was very good. I kind of almost want to like go back in time and revise last week's up to a 5, but yeah, I thought this episode was really good. What for me bumps it up from a 4, from just a very good episode,
mm-hmm.
was the directing in this was really cool. Like, they had, most of it is filmed in a very, standard kind of way, but that initial, opening scene at the used car lot had a lot of really neat angles, and like the first thing that happens is the little Gumby thing pops up in the corner of the screen, and that was cool. And then when they had the stuff with Cal, they were doing like shaky cam stuff of like his perspective, and it was a lot of really neat styles brought together in this episode. So I thought that was especially cool. So 4.5 for me. Alrighty, well, I guess that wraps us up for this week. We will be back next week to talk about the episode featuring Agent May. Of course, between now and then, we will be watching Daredevil. However, we're going to do a special episode on Daredevil, so that will not be part of next week's, but you will be seeing that in the very near future. So we will see you then. A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.